Hi, I'm Steve.
And I'm Simon. Welcome to the Business and Beers podcast,
where we chat to our guests about real life experiences and the practical steps to their success, with a ton of knowledge bombs getting dropped along the way.
While enjoying a beer together, don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.
Good day, good morning, all the greetings of South Africa to another episode of Business and Beers. We're super excited to have Frugal back on the episode. I know the last episode, I think was probably one of the deepest episodes we've ever had on Business and Beers. But I think something that's so relevant, and really hope our listeners got value, if you didn't listen to that episode, we'd highly encourage you, toxic work environment. So we're very fortunate to have Frugal back on another episode. And really what we wanted to touch on this episode, Frugal, I think firstly before we jump into that, welcome. And thanks so much for taking the time again.
Hello and welcome to the coffee department. Your call is important to us.
You literally have a voicemail voice. Eh?
You are number 958 in queue.
It's all the support desk help you had. Eh?
Indeed.
Yes, I think this episode, you mentioned quite a lot in the previous one, toxic work environment and having a backup and an exit plan. And obviously we spoke a lot around what the toxic work environment looks like, how it affected you mentally and absolutely broke you down. And you touched on having this exit plan. So we actually wanted to encourage our listeners with this episode, saying, okay, great, Frugal, you went through hell. You climbed the mountain, you never jumped off, but ultimately, you got to the point where you just said, I can't do this anymore. So it would be great for you to talk us through the journey that when you decided, I cannot do this anymore, what did you do and where are you today?
I think you can just say he was climbing the mountain, but it's like when they climb, you add those ropes, you know, each time you go up. Yeah. So how do we add those ropes as we're climbing these toxic mountains?
Absolutely. So I think that, look, the number one thing is you need to make a decision. You know, look, many times, you know, we know that we're in a toxic work environment, or we know that we're not a fit. So whatever the case might be, if it's not where you need to be, you can say, it's not helpful for me. You need to like be mindful of that. You need to know that. You need to realize that. And then make a decision that you're going to leave. Mm. The next thing is you need to do is you need to have a deadline to say, I will leave at this date.
Yeah.
So mine was in the middle of COVID.
Wow. Come hello, high water. That date, if I have a plan or not, I'm leaving.
Absolutely. So mine was actually the 1st of June. It was supposed to be between the 1st of June last year. And due to COVID, I didn't. And I had a call. It was in May with somebody who I, you know, held me accountable. And she was like, so have you given your letter of resignation? And I'm like, no, I haven't. She's like, why? I'm like, COVID. And she's like, that's an excuse. I'm not hearing, like, I don't understand why you didn't. I mean, because I had the clients, I had the plan, I had everything. So, like I said, next one is the deadline. It's very, very important.
Yeah.
Stick to it.
Oh, absolutely. Stick to it as much as you can. Look, sometimes life throws you a curveball, like an international pandemic. But as much as you can, you need to make effort to reach that goal. And then the next thing is start planning.
Yeah.
So it looks different for different people.
Yep.
I've got a friend who's in a toxic work environment and he doesn't want to work for himself. He doesn't.
Wow.
So, and that's fine. He wants to be employed again.
Yes.
But the problem is that where he's at now, he's in a dead end job.
Yes.
So for him, his plan is going to be, I need to upskill myself so that I have the stuff that I need to get the better job.
Yeah.
In other cases, it might be like myself. I was like, I would never want to work for a boss again. And that's fair. I mean, it's very, very much fair. I mean, I'm wired to work for myself. It's very much in my identity and who I am. So for me, I had to embark on this journey to get clients, to also start building my network, connect with the right people. And oddly enough, the fun curveball that I did have was Frugal.
Yeah.
Like, just for interest sakes, Frugal that I created. So I've got currently, as of this point in time, about 21,000 followers on Twitter.
Wow.
You know, and I can give you other stats, but just for interest sakes, I built Frugal as a lead magnet for my previous company to bring them in leads and bring them business in.
Okay.
That's what I did. But with me leaving all of that, I've pivoted it and I'm actually generating income from it.
Yes.
And that's actually my bread and butter.
Yeah.
Which is which is amazing. So what I would suggest, if you do want to run your own business, have multiple income streams.
Yep.
Don't just do one business.
I just want to quickly, you mentioned a little while ago that you knew that you were wired to do your own business. So if we have a guest listening, how did you determine? Did you know that from a long time ago? Did you just know that was the way it has to be because of a toxic boss? Just so that if there is someone going through the same situation, they can maybe just cross-reference to you how you knew, go own business or upskill or try find another job.
So here's an interesting thing. So Mrs. Frugal is exactly the opposite of me. I'm an unemotional extrovert. She's an emotional introvert. She's like, if I go for an interview, I'm like, you're hired. And they're like, no, we're wanting to hire you. And she's just like, you know, for the interview, she's just like, don't you want a brownie instead? Like, yeah. But she's been running her own business for more than 10 years. And she's actually not the typical type of person that would run their own business. So what I'm trying to say is that some people are forced to due to necessity. It might be retrenchment. It might also be that they have made redundant. Mm. It might be, you know, all of those cases, you know, things that happen. And they're basically forced into it. Mm. Can they run their own business? Yes, anybody can. Should everybody? No, absolutely yeah. not. Yeah. So, but I do think that there's something about knowing yourself. And that's very important. If you know how you're wired, you know, do not only the personality tests, but you know how you act, how you, you know, do things. So, for example, for me, for some reason, since I, even while I was studying, you know, I studied graphic design, if you didn't know, even in my second year, I mean, I was building websites for people, like, and I couldn't do it, but I got the clients in. And just over my career and my journey, I've been able to actually get clients. I don't know how, but they just come across my path and I have clients. Yeah. So it's something, and people would come to me and tell me, listen, how do you do this? And I'm like, how do I do what? It's like, how do you get these clients? And I'm like, I have no idea. Yeah. So sometimes people are, they've got, you know, it's that nature nurture debate. And it's very difficult to say it's in your nature or it's been nurtured. But sometimes if you'd put enough work into it, you can make it work. But again, should anybody do it and everybody do it? No.
I want to, before we carry on with the journey, because it's an interesting topic, something that I've been milling in my mind for a long time is how you wired. So you obviously mentioned, yeah, you know, you got your standard personality test, something like that. But what advice would you give someone that actually doesn't know about themselves? So yes, I know I'm this person, I like this, I do this. But how do you truly know who you are and how you wired from your point of view?
Excellent question. A couple of things. The first thing is, I do recommend a couple of personality tests. So the Myers-Briggs personality tests, 16personalities.com, you can do it for free. Enneagram test is really cool as well. And then what I like to do as well
paid one
is...
Or freed one?
Say?
Paid one or the free one?
Enneagram, I think you can get it for free online as well. So you just need to Google.
What's your coupon code?
Frugal.com. I'm
joking. Hashtag, I can't remember. So definitely do as many. I mean, I've done tons and tons and tons of personality tests. Yeah. StrengthsFinder is paid for, but it's really great as well. Yeah. And all of these things give you an idea of where you fit in and who you are. And but on the other hand, our experiences tell us and about ourselves, what we've been through and our journey and our reaction towards those things. But I'm going to use a very esoteric term here, and that is mindfulness.
Yes.
Mm. The thing is that, you know what, life goes really quickly. And if we're not mindful about where we are, who we are, and where we are going, then it just passes us by and we wake up and we're 65 years old and we can't retire because we spent all of our money on grand cars.
Yeah.
So what I suggest on that is that what I do is as part of self-management and self-care. So I normally tell people small wins and self-care. Self-care is I look after myself. So I buy myself that cup of coffee because it just makes me feel human again.
Yeah.
Other people have things like they fly drones or they play computer games or something like that.
Ferraris.
Interesting. Well,
the toy ones.
Okay. Nice. So depending on that, what I do is I do daily reflections.
Yeah.
So I do literally in the mornings, I check my anxiety levels, my stress levels. Also a couple of goals and also check what I'm going to do today so that I'm intentional about what I'm doing. And in that, I'm also exploring and finding out what works and what doesn't work for me.
So like a little self-checker every morning.
Absolutely.
I don't use the term loosely, but you're almost plugging into yourself. Like, great, how am I doing? Like, am I okay?
Absolutely. So it's very similar to, you know, when you find people that spend lots of money and they don't know that they're spending lots of money. Yeah. So what happens is they go swipey, swipey, because credit card doesn't hurt the brain as much chemically as money actually does. So they swipey, swipey, they go to the local mall and they're like, oh my goodness, nice pair of shoes. Swipey, swipey. Oh, nice car. You know, Ferrari, buy it, swipe, swipe. Yeah. And they end up with a lot of debt. The problem is that they're not mindful about what they're doing and their intentions. It's the same with when you're looking at business. It's the same if you're looking for entrepreneurship. It's the same with self-management and moving on from where you were to who you want to become.
Yeah.
When you do this intentionally and you're daily aware of what you need to do to get where you need to get, you can actually get where you need to get.
Brilliant.
But if you do not, so then it doesn't. So for me personally, for IntraSex, I do reflections 5 days a week, early morning. And then on a Friday afternoon, I normally have my weekly checkup reflection, which I then say, let's aggregate the data and see how I've done. And then on Sunday afternoons, I normally have my personal development plan.
Yeah.
And then if I know that for my personal development plan, I'm not achieving the stuff that I should be, it trickles down to my daily checks so that I say, I need to do this stuff daily.
Yeah.
So that would be something like finding clients. It could be something like do breathing exercises for anxiety. It could be something like, you know, buy Mrs. Frugal a bunch of flowers.
Yes.
You know, invest in my marriage, invest in, you know, Frugal Local in my online brand or whatever the case might be.
Okay.
I think it's important there, especially for our listeners, is that obviously Frugal now explaining it, it sounds like he's got it all together, but he's tested things that worked and didn't work for him. You know, like for him buying his wife flowers works, where for Simon or myself, it could be going for a cycle. You know, that's a de-stressor. And I think
last time I bought my wife flowers, she left it at my mom's house. And my mom thought, I bought her flowers. So great win for my mother, but like, great win for my wife. I was like, oh, where's those flowers I bought you? And she was like,
oopsie.
Oh,
oops.
I left them at your mom's house 4 days ago. And I was like, yeah, well, that's the last time you're ever getting flowers.
Yeah, so just the point on that is it's just to find what works for you. It's like I've recently started, because obviously there's this big craze around the breathing exercises. So now I do that every day, especially when things are getting overwhelmed, you are feeling stressed, then we do the breathing exercises.
But
I think it's
Wim Hof, the Dutch guy. Let's watch him on the breathing. He's the guy that you jump in a cold shower and then you do breathing exercises in the shower.
Okay, yeah, now I see a lot of people doing it. So let's jump back into Frugal's giving us lots of tips and tricks. So you're now starting your own business. You knew that was going to be the thing. Did it go? Was it like a rocket? Did it take off straight away? When did you actually resign eventually? Because you said you were supposed to do it on the 1st of June. You never did it. So let's carry on that journey.
So end of August.
Okay, so it's not
so
too bad.
Basically what was interesting is that because I work for myself and my wife as well, we had a property that we bought for an absolute bargain, and because of COVID, the reason why I stayed there was because I wanted the property to register in my name while I still had the job, because otherwise I'd lose it.
Company, you bug it in.
Absolutely. So they won't give you a loan, especially like in the first couple of years. So what we did is I basically reached the point where I said, listen, I can't delay this any longer now. Mm. Because I can't delay it for my mental health and also because I've missed my deadline. So what I want to say is that a lot of people think, as you've rightfully mentioned, that, you know, look, Frugal's got it all together. And that is, you know, somebody said my overnight success took 20 years and it took a year of preparation for me to get to that point. When I left, I was able to make double my expenses.
Expenses or income?
Expenses.
Yeah.
So because I'm frugal, I keep my expenses low. So what I did is I had about 3 years worth of expenses saved up.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, that person that does backup plans for backup plans for backup plans. So when I left, I already would get double my expenses. So I realized that I'm going to be okay for, you know, the next couple of months at least.
Yeah.
And also that if something would happen for about 3 years, I'd be able to cover myself, which was absolutely ideal for me, because then I realized, okay, I've got the buffer. And you get that. Some people, they need that buffer. So for me as well, I needed to make sure that I'm going to be okay.
So comfort blanket, right?
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes you need a couple more. Like, you know, like comfort blanket for the comfort blanket for the comfort blanket, you know.
Before you carry on, I can imagine some guests are actually Googling frugal. In your simple definition, what is frugal?
So this is the interesting thing. The word frugal, many people will say it's cheap. Yeah. It's absolutely not cheap. frugal has got to do with, and it depends also where, you know, what type of, you know, worldview you're coming from. Frugal does not mean being cheap. Frugal is not cheapskate, absolutely not. Frugal means you spend money on the things that's important.
Yeah.
And also, you know, it goes on to your time as well. You spend your time on the things that's really important to you.
Yeah.
Because if it's not important, you're wasting.
Yeah. But that's actually powerful, because, I mean, that's, you know, looking back now, and I mean, you and I haven't really had too extensive discussions like in your business and stuff, but I can almost already see by having that name, it's given you purpose into your journey of business, you know, doing things smart, spending the time on the things I have to do and aligning my business goals to exactly that. Because I would imagine now that you've looked at the books and you're saying, okay, great, I'm going into my own thing, I don't actually need to freak out because my backup plans are starting to work now. And now I can actually focus on the things that bring me joy, bring me happiness. I can focus on the things that I actually want to focus on. I don't now need to have support tickets coming through anymore.
Jira.
Absolutely. So I think that the cool thing is that, let me tell you a little secret. So my company's vision, or the thing that takes my whole company together, is to simplify.
Yeah.
Simple as that. It's to simplify.
Yeah.
And if you look at that as well, one of my taglines that I use quite often is, don't spend R1 million to see if your idea would work. So what I do is I do software development and I build minimum viable products for people.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see what is the smallest thing that you can push out to somebody to see if the idea would work.
Yeah.
And that's basically it. It's exactly that. It is very frugal.
Yes.
My software development that I do as well.
Yes. Yeah, that's powerful. So, and I mean, looking at the net where you're in today, I mean, compared to last year, so you officially, almost a year into like officially being your own boss now. I mean, what ventures are you all doing now? Is it the software development? Like what is all the things that you've now set up for yourself?
So as you know, I invest quite heavily in property. Yeah. So property is doing really, really well. I recently discovered just how juicy and good the deal is that I actually bought last year. Doing very, very, very well. So I've got that. I've got Frugal Local, which is generating some quite nice income as well. Then I've got software development that I do. So I do coding for people. I do a couple of corporates as well that I do some coding work for. I do project management work, so IT project management. Yeah. And then I do planning and research as well. So a little bit like that as well. So I've got quite my finger in a couple of pies. I don't really do coaching, but I do teaching a little bit as well. So a couple of people that I, you know, teach with regards to some things.
So you've actually like flourished. I mean, looking at going from support tickets now to running all these different things by yourself. I mean, looking back now, I'm actually going to flip this question, because we talk a lot about entrepreneurs and the business side. If you never had a toxic culture, would you ever be where you are today?
Absolutely not. I'd probably still be in a corporate environment.
Yeah.
You see, the thing is that Nightbird said something that was very important, that I find extremely important. She said, you can't wait for life to stop being hard for you to be happy.
Yeah.
And in the context of that, it's not easy running your own business.
Yeah.
It's not. But I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm so, so happy. And sometimes it's those bad things that, you know, when we've been through them, that we can look back and say, look how far I've come.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, and that's maybe an interesting point for our listeners and stuff, or anyone listening to this podcast, is you mentioned it, mindfulness. And I personally believe a lot of people don't have proper mindfulness. And you understand what I'm saying now. If you change the situations that you're in just by your thinking, like I said on the previous episode, that quote that was said where you get to be a victim once, and after that you're a volunteer. That quote has been so powerful for me, and the reason being is we need to change our mindset to situations. You can either sit in a situation and you can say, woe is me, my life is cuck, everyone around me is cuck, and you're depressed and all of that. Or you can actually say, look at the situation, try to look at the good in it. And again, your situation is very difficult because, like you say, when you're stuck in the situation, you're not always looking like, okay, wow, this, like, there's good in it. But I think it's a whole mindfulness, like you say, sitting down, centering yourself, what makes me happy? Because I think when you start asking that question about yourself, you'll naturally start getting led into that place. And maybe that's the thing. Like you say, life is short. If you're not happy in what you're doing, leave. Like, I know it's difficult to say, but the more guests we get on the podcast and the more people we talk to, it's actually the easiest thing. If you're not happy doing what you're doing, leave.
Yeah, do what makes you happy.
Because naturally, like you say, as people you will trust, your natural instincts will kick in. Like you say, how do you find clients? I don't know. It just happens, you know. And sometimes you got to actually get uncomfortable, because I think for me, and again, using a massive disclaimer, I think it's actually great when people are uncomfortable. I think you are going to perform the best in your life when you're uncomfortable. And like, I'd like people to challenge me on that bit, but I think when you're comfortable, you're not growing, because life is lekker. But when life is not lekker, you got to make tough decisions. And the tough decisions led Frugal to where you are today.
Absolutely. I want to give you another quote. You can't change the people around you, but you can change the people around you.
That's a mind screw.
Remember, you can't change those people.
Yeah.
But you can change them, or shall I say, replace them.
Yes.
Yeah.
The thing is that, you know what, if you're not happy, like you say, leave.
Yeah.
The problem is that oftentimes it's very, very, very difficult because we are overinvested. Yeah. It's the gambler's fallacy. But I want to encourage, you know, the listeners as well. Like, listen, if you're not happy, find a new job. Grow. Yeah. Learn. Get a personal development plan in place.
Yeah.
Say, this and this and this is what I need to do to get out of there. Mm. It is possible. The problem is that a lot of times we don't want to put action behind our words.
Yeah, 100%. And lastly on that, and I think potentially it is a crime that we're facing with in natural people nowadays, is the crime of excuses. Mm. When you're in a situation, you're either going to make an excuse while you're in the situation, or you're going to take action, right? You've mentioned a ton of tools to self-build yourself, to understand where you're strong. You actually have no excuse to understand yourself. There are so many free tools available. You've listed a ton of websites to understand your personality, understand your strengths, understand your weaknesses, understand where you'd be a good fit, right? With all the free tools available, and you still don't take action, you're then just... Sorry to say it, like, I'm going to say it blunt, because I've been in situations like that myself where I just find excuses to not take action. Until you personally decide to take action in the situation you're in, nothing will change. It's what's that quote from The Lorax? I can't remember. Someone should tag it in. But it was around this whole thing that nothing in the world will change unless you take the decision to change. No one's going to change the path for you. Like you said, you could have sat in that situation and you'll probably still be getting run into the ground, but you physically took action to look at your situation and say, this is not me. Boom.
I think none of the secrets of success will work unless you do.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I think we're going to end it there. That was deep.
I love it. Yeah. Just before we do end it, Frugal, as we always do when you have an entrepreneur episode, what is just three quick tips that you would give to someone that's looking to start their own business?
Or five, you don't need to be stuck to three. Or 12 or 21. But three is good.
Nice. The first thing I would say is I believe that people shouldn't spend money on things that's not important.
Is that, so you're going to leave us with just one good tip?
And this is it, you know, because why? People spend a lot of money on all of these things just to, you know, throw money around. But if they can be intentional with their money when they are trying to do business, they're going to get a lot further than just trying to do everything and everywhere.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys. If you do want to follow Frugal, he's on Facebook, Twitter, just known as Frugal Local. He's also on a website. Please go and read his blog, where he gives awesome tips for small businesses and also financial advice. Thanks again to Jester Studios for having us. And thanks again, Frugal, for the awesome episode.